If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, over to 1 Corinthians 11 and follow along as I read beginning at verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11 and 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "The cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Sometimes we get a little impatient with the disciples, with the early church. Why did they get things so wrong and struggle in so many different ways? Here Paul is having to reteach communion. Well, it's for their benefit. Certainly, but it's also for our benefit too. If it weren't for 1 Corinthians 11, now follow me, please, all we'd have would be Jesus' instructions to the disciples on the night of his arrest. Sufficient? Absolutely. But because the church at Corinth had managed to get it wrong, the Apostle Paul had to reteach the significance of that Passover meal that Jesus shared with his disciples. And because of that, he helps us to understand the significance of this table even better, especially as it applies to the church. Jesus was talking to his disciples. Jesus was talking to some men who'd spent the better part of 3.5 years with him. They'd heard almost everything he had taught. Now it's time for the church to understand how to take that teaching and apply it to itself. As happens sometimes, even in church, there are things we do that become routine. Now, there's nothing wrong with routine. Most of you spent a little time in your preparation for this morning. Most of you brushed your teeth. Did you think about it? Probably not. You just did it because you do. You made your way here without giving it a whole lot of thought because you do it every week. There are things that we do routinely that are very important, very appropriate. But sometimes in the routine can become a rut, and we forget to think about what we're doing and why we do it. And that's what was happening in the church at Corinth. They were doing exactly what the Apostle Paul had taught them to do. They were regularly getting together and eating together, because it's what we like to do, to share a meal, to share with those who maybe don't have quite as much as we do, but share a meal together and kind of get brought up to date on what's happening in your life and in mine. The problem was, over time there in Corinth, There were folks who had a lot, and there were folks who had a little, and unfortunately, the folks who had a lot liked to sit at the same table, and the folks who didn't have very much sat at the other table, and they didn't share. And there became a bit of a division, and what was supposed to be a love feast became a demonstration of those who have to those who have not. So that when it came time to take the bread and to take the cup and remind the church family of why we're here in the first place, some of them had already had too much to drink, and some of them were still hungry. And nobody was getting it. So the Apostle Paul said, it's time for some reteaching here, some retraining. And so he reminds us of the significance of the bread. He reminds us of the significance of the cup. But he adds something. Prayer. He says, this is a built-in time for each of us to stop and pray for the sins of others. No. We do that all too often. But what he calls us to is prayer for ourselves. Invite the Holy Spirit to search your heart and your mind to see if there's something that you're overlooking, something you're ignoring, something you're excusing. An original thought? No. Listen to what David said in Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. Now that's a cry from the heart. It took David a while to get there. David had fallen in to some of the most awful sin a man can fall into. He had lost all integrity. Until finally, someone said, you're wrong. You need to repent. And David went through that process and later wrote these words and said, you know, that needs to be a regular part of what I'm going through. If I had been praying, search me, O God, and know my heart, I could have walked out on that balcony, seen what I saw, turn around and walk back into the house, because I would have known to pause would only create problems. And when Uriah came home and I saw a perfect plan, a perfect way to cover up my sin, if I'd been praying, search me, O God, I'd have seen. It would have been revealed to me the ugliness of my thoughts. So Paul is saying to the church at Corinth, as you approach this table, approach it this way. Before you take the bread, before you take the cup, invite the Holy Spirit to search your heart and your mind. Is there something you're excusing? Well, they're doing it. Seems like everybody's doing that these days. Is there something you're ignoring? Hadn't thought too much about that. Suppose I shouldn't do that? Allow the Holy Spirit permission to inform you of those issues that you need to address. Let's sing. Search me, O God. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some simple in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. Oh, Heavenly Father, may that truly be the cry of our heart. We've been reminded this morning that we are sinners, and you love to take us and make us into exactly what you want, and use us exactly as you wish. But we need to be open, we need to be pliable, we need to be teachable, we need to be movable. We're broken. But because of the finished work of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus, you can fix us. You will forgive us. And Father, because of your great love, because you gave your only unique Son, you've proven to us your love, you've proven to us just how great you are. It would have been so easy to just start over. But you chose to forgive. You chose to die for our sins. And through that death, pay the penalty for our sins. And not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. And if we will simply respond by faith, our sins are forgiven. We are your children. And then it's simply our responsibility to cooperate with your Holy Spirit, live in obedience to your word, to be who you would have us to be. And Father, you've taken all of that and blessed us even more by putting us in a land where we have this tremendous freedom to worship freely, to share our faith without fear. We have been most blessed, and in the midst of that blessing, we can give, and through our giving, see your word go literally around the world through missions. That's a freedom that we have here. We are so thankful for that. But Father, as you are searching our hearts, as your Holy Spirit is searching our minds and our intent, if there is any sense in which we are responsible personally, for the unrest, for the hatred, for the division, for the pride, for the arrogance, the sinfulness that is eating away at our great land, rather than pointing fingers, rather than laying the blame elsewhere. Bring us to our knees before you in repentance. For we, as your children, must live and act. Respond as Jesus taught us to respond, reflecting your will here on earth. So, Father, as we continue to remember all that is involved here in this table, help our thoughts to focus upon your word and what you have taught. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now again, because of the times in which we are and the closeness of our families and community, we can't share communion like we normally would. Hopefully next time we'll be able to, or maybe next time we'll be able to facilitate that a little differently. But I didn't want this time, especially as we're anticipating our quarterly business meeting next week and thinking of the responsibilities that we have to one another as a family, I didn't want to just skip over this time without thinking again of the significance of why Jesus called us to this table and why it was so important for the Apostle Paul to reteach the significance of this table. So on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he shared the Passover meal with his disciples. It was Passover. But as they were going through the meal, Jesus took a loaf of bread, a piece of bread, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Bread. Everyday necessity. Jesus took it, an important part of the Passover meal, an important part of every meal. He took it, he broke it, and listen to that. He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." It's hard to imagine, hard to think of what that must have been like for Jesus. Hasn't happened yet as he's sharing this meal. He knows it's coming. And he takes this bread and he breaks it and he hands it to his disciples and he says, "I want this to represent to you. I want this to represent my body." He says, "We tear it apart. And I break it, and I hand it to you, and I hand it to you, and I hand it to you." It's in less than 24 hours, some of them are going to watch as Jesus goes through some of the most horrific treatment that any man has ever gone through. Many who were ordered crucified never made it to the cross. Much of what Jesus went through before he was ever nailed to the cross killed most men. And he knew that was coming. And he wants his disciples to know, when you see that, when you learn of it later from the eyewitnesses, I want you to know that I did that for you. And as you take this bread and as you eat it, think in terms of what I'm about to do, they haven't a clue. They will. They'll understand later. As you do this, and as you think about what I'm doing for you, I want it to become a part of you. Just as this piece of bread is going to become a part, I want it to become a part of you. Because what I'm about to do will make it possible. Just within the evening, he had said, I'm going to go away. And I'm going to ask the Father to send someone else, the Holy Spirit. Right now, he's here with us. Then he will be in you. You see, there's something about this whole process of Jesus' death that makes it possible for him to become a part of us, to dwell within us. So as you break the bread, as you share it, as you eat it, think in terms of not just the gift of my life for you, but that it makes it possible for me then to become a part of who you are. And then later, he took the cup and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Now, just as with the bread, he doesn't say how often, but when you do it, when you gather like this as a family, at some point, take the bread and then now the cup. And remember that this cup represents my blood. It is not my blood. It does not become my blood. It just represents the fact that I am about to give up my blood for you, my life. And in doing that, creating a whole new covenant, he says. We might use the word contract, arrangement, agreement. Up until that point, God had required the blood of animals. Animal after animal after animal, because the wages of sin is death. And Israel had constantly before it this image of death, because that's what sin creates. That's what sin causes. But now God's going to have a new covenant, a new arrangement, a new agreement with mankind. It's no longer the blood of bulls and goats and sheep, but it is the blood of the Lamb of God, whose death will take away the sin of the world. No other sacrifice necessary. No other bloodletting necessary. Jesus is saying, my death, my blood, will create a whole new arrangement. In this arrangement, God will be able to offer to all mankind salvation, grace. What do you need to do? Offer a sacrifice? Nope, been done. You just need to respond by faith, believing the unbelievable, that the God of the universe would love you enough that he would send his Son, God himself, to die for your sins. You believe that? The finished work of Jesus alone, and salvation is yours, the forgiveness of sin is yours. That's the new arrangement. That's the new covenant. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. How sad to think that because of everything else in the evening leading up to this, Many of them aren't even aware of what they're doing. Paul says that that just can't be. You can't approach this way. So he gives them a word of motivation in verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So regularly, whenever we do this, and churches do it, some do it every Sunday, some do it once a month, some do it four times a year like we do. Different traditions. But the purpose, the motivation to proclaim this simple truth. If you are here this morning in Christ, if you are here this morning, your sins forgiven, you are here this morning because God loved you and Jesus died for you. For that's the only way of salvation. So when we take the bread, when we take the cup, we proclaim his death. Jesus died. And that's the way of salvation, the only way of salvation. And we need to be reminded of that regularly. Whether it's weekly or monthly or quarterly or annually, we need to be reminded that God loved the world so much that he gave his only unique son so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. That's what we celebrate here at this table. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we ask that soon we would be able to approach this table as a family and truly share the elements, the illustrations of your body and your blood. But until then, just as this table reminds us, may we regularly, continually remember that the basis, the foundation for our faith, our belief that we have an eternity set aside for us with you, is the finished work of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus, his death, burial, resurrection. That without his death, there is no forgiveness of sin. Thank you, Father, for the reminder. May we live in light of this truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me, please, as we sing our hymn of fellowship? Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is love. Thank you so much for coming this morning, starting the day, starting the week with us here. I forgot to mention earlier, Jill is not here this morning because she's over with our friends at Good News Baptist this morning, one of her other supporting churches. So please be praying for her and this week. And on your way out, thank Jeremy for keeping us all together this morning. That's been very, very, very helpful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we leave here this morning, may it be evident to those who watch us that we love you with all that we are and all that we have, because you loved us first, and that we love one another. And in that simple truth, be useful to you to draw others to yourself. May we be useful servants in your kingdom this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.